This is Wake Up Call.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
A Gal Media property. Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios. O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. Alongside Ron Colbert, here's Tony D.
Wake up!
All right, good morning. It is SB Nation Radio and Wake Up Call. And you know what? I looked on the calendar and we have hit July. And there's a lot of good things in July. We've been waiting for it, right? There's got the NBA bubble. We got Major League Baseball potentially starting. Soccer is going to start its tournament. It's a couple of, you know, we've been talking about this over the last couple of days. But it is July 1st, and that's a very, very special day for all of us who follow Major League Baseball. Today is Bobby Bonilla Day. Yay! $1.19 million to the former Met, who gets this every single year until he's 72 years old. I love bringing this up because it's just one of those reminders. It's like when, you know, it's like showing up at some anniversary just to remind people what it is and then just stepping away. The New York Mets owed Bobby Bonilla $5.9 million. They decided to defer that money. And it did work out for the Mets. I mean, you know, people pick on the Mets for this deal, but remember at the time, they were involved in one of the greatest financial windfalls you could ever. Some guy was managing their money and it was bringing in huge returns, and Bonilla was going to get like this deal on an 8% interest, but they were making so much money off their investment that it just seemed like the salad days would never come to an end. So the two sides came to an agreement. Bonilla would get $1.19 million for 25 years. The money they were going to pay him was coming off the money they were making off this investments anyway. And everything was going to be great. Except the Mets were involved in the Bernie Madoff Ponzi scam. And that really didn't work out all too well. Now, they did, because they were able to defer some money, they were able to get David Wright out of the deal, which worked out really well for them. But more importantly, it's worked out so fantastic for Mr. Bobby Bonilla. I mean, they could have just written him a check for $5.8 million at the time and been done with him. But instead, every July 1st, today, he gets a check for $1.19 million as part of a massively awesome retirement plan for just a simple, I mean, $6 million to a Major League Baseball team is nothing. But now, every year, we get to celebrate this awesome day in baseball. We'll talk some more baseball coming up next.
You're listening to Wake Up Call, presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Start on Twitter at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver. That's Ron with two N's. Love to hear from you this morning as we continue along. Wake Up Call on SB Nation Radio. All right, so this was a long time coming. This was one of those bits of news that was just, well, we got to make it official, so let's make it official. But you all know what we're doing anyway, and you've all known what we were going to be doing anyway. But now it's done. Minor League Baseball is done for 2020. That didn't come as a surprise to anybody, but the organization that's sort of the umbrella organization for all the minor leagues made it official that there will be no minor league baseball in 2020. So there is a sadness to it for a lot of towns that like having a minor league game to go to. It's littered across the country. There's 160 minor league teams, but this has always been a cash business. I mean, it's always been a fans in the stands type of business. Local media usually have to, the teams usually buy their airtime on radio and sell their advertising, but it's very, very dependent on ticket sales, concessions, parking. I mean, any of the things that you would spend money on when you go to a minor league game with your family. And since there's going to be no way to put fans in the seats in these little small areas of the country, there's going to be no minor league baseball. So what does that mean for baseball? What does it mean for the minor league system? And how, when it returns in the 60-game schedule, what happens? I mean, look, minor league baseball has always been good for entertainment for these little cities in these areas of the country where it's played, but it does have a purpose. It has a development purpose, but for a lot of them in the AAA area, there's a rehab purpose as well. I mean, you get hurt, you go down to the minors, you spend a couple of time there. You know, when you're rehabbing back from an injury, you go down to Albuquerque, for example, and you play some games, and then you get moved up back to the show. That's not going to happen. So, but again, in a 60-game schedule, here's what's likely to happen for people who have a lot of injuries that are going to take a lot of time to rehab, which is either A, they'll go to some team complex and do it there, or B, their season's just going to be over. I mean, look, if you're talking about 4 to 6 weeks on an injury, well, it depends on when it falls on the calendar. There's only 60 games. We're only talking about 2 months of baseball before we get to the postseason. Now, some players are going to be able to come back and be part of a team's run towards the playoffs, but for the most part, there isn't time anyway. If there was a minor league system, there isn't time anyway to sort of get involved and get some games in before you have to go back to the show. So there'll be a complex and they'll just go down there and work out. But, you know, when you think about the young players that are developing, needing a year taken away from their development, all right, they'll get some of those years. You know, they'll get another year or two. You know, they're in their early 20s or whatnot. What about the guys that are like 28, 29? You know, and they're like, look, I only had a couple of years, this window of time to try to make it. 2020 was maybe my last shot. 2020 was maybe my last opportunity. Now, I kind of feel bad for them, that this year was taken away from them. But there is one sliver of news about this that might make me, at least me and Ron, smile. And that is that the New York Mets will have about 60 players in their player pool. Now, these are players, that are going to be available to the Mets at any time during the season to plug and play. And that could include our good friend, Tim Tebow.
Yay!
So there's a number of outlets that are reporting this. Let's see, the New York Post, Yahoo Sports, because they're using a quote from Brody Van Wagenen, who is the Mets general manager, who told Syracuse.com, we do have 10 spots that we haven't made final determinations on who we will be bringing. He was in camp with us early on in camp last spring. He was sent out to minor league camp a couple of weeks into it. But he, like many of other players, were in the spring training for us, will be in consideration to bring back. But we haven't made the final decision. So he didn't rule it out, saying, well, you know, we kind of have an idea of who our 10 guys are going to be. Unfortunately, he's not one of them, but we haven't made a decision. No, he's left it open. So there has been speculation that because this is just one of those unique situations for baseball where optics are going to matter more than just playing, right? You're going to like what will draw eyeballs to the broadcasts is going to be in consideration. You know, we always talk about sports and on the professional level, you shouldn't be in the business of just trying to put fans in the seats with some sort of gimmicky signing. But it's almost like this case with 60 games, you can get away with a gimmicky signing where Tebow may not be one of your 10 best minor league players, but he's got something the others don't in terms of a draw for the audience, and that's kind of needed now because there's going to be no tickets that are going to be sold at Citi Field. So I wonder, I mean, look, I wouldn't put it past the Mets to do this, right?
No, just put them on the team. Just be done with it.
Because here's what I was thinking about when I was looking at this story last night. I said, all right, would the Mets really put him in? Now, look, his numbers were really good in AA, but they weren't that good at AAA. But would the Mets really do this? And I thought, you know what? Why wouldn't you? Look, you're the organization that has brought him on. You're the organization that has kept him in your system when maybe you could have gotten away with saying, okay, we've done it. Thanks, Tim. You know, you made it. Yay. Congratulations. Goodbye. Go back to the SEC network and do your thing. But they never did. They kept him in, you know, they kept him in Columbia, South Carolina in single A. They kept him in Binghamton in double A. Even when he was hurt, they moved him up to Syracuse in triple A. They were going to put him there again this year, even after he batted like 111 or something like that last season, whatever it was in Syracuse. But again, if you're looking at hey, look, we are going to be counting on ratings and attention. That's basically all we got. You know, why wouldn't you let him play a couple of games, especially if you get to the middle of the season, middle of August and you're, or September, and you're not in it? You know, you're not in it. Maybe then the Mets should be good enough to make it. So maybe there's a consideration there. But if things don't quite go right, why don't you just do it and say, look, you know what? We were the team that invested in him. We were the team that put him on board. You know, he's 32 years old. He's not going to make more runs of this anytime soon. But he was going to be playing at Syracuse. Now, I said 111. I'm sorry. He actually batted 163 in AAA.
Come on. Don't slight him like that.
I didn't mean to. I mean, 111 was in 163. It may not sound like a lot, but it's a lot. I want to give him the extra 52.
I mean, that's, you know, that's so, maybe 10 hits.
Yeah, four home runs and 19 RBIs.
See? He deserves to be on a club.
Four home runs at AAA? That's got to count for something, right?
It's got to.
That's got to count for something.
No, I mean, this is a perfect storm.
Do the Mets want to, like, if he was batting 163, like if we were doing a normal baseball season, right? Let's say no COVID, we're in July, and he's batting 155, 160 again in Syracuse. And we get to September, and let's say the Mets are not in it, and they're doing September call-ups, and they call him up anyway. And everyone around the league, everybody knows this is just a gimmick signing to put him on the team, to get him a major league at bat, get him major league time. And, you know, you could criticize the Mets going, look, we're not that. You know, we're not signing celebrities to play baseball. We're not doing that. But in COVID baseball, 60 games, sprint to the finish, it's kind of weird anyway. Do it, Mets.
Do it.
Give them some at-bats.
Give them some run. It's okay.
It'll be totally fine. No one's going to criticize you. No one's going to laugh at you. So they may laugh at you today because it's Bobby Bonilla Day. But they won't laugh at you if you put Tebow on the field.
No, we're not going to laugh today. We're going to celebrate you for the greatest contract in human history.
Exactly. Exactly.
But no, I agree. I mean, you know, I mean, I'm glad he's got the invite to not spring training. What do they call it? Summer camp?
Yeah.
What are they calling this? I'm glad he got the invite there. I'm just hoping he can showcase something because I think, why not? That's my biggest question is why not? Why not just put him on the roster? You want viewers. In a way, I would say MLB needs to push this just to, I guess, make good on bad publicity.
Yeah, why not? I mean, again.
I know baseball purists are going to scoff at it and go, oh, he doesn't deserve, you can't do this, blah, 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 blah. But you need something. We need a summer of 98 right now.
Listen, there is something about this guy that draws people in. I don't know if it's just curiosity or there's actually an underground of Tebow fanatics out there that just follow him and follow whatever he does. But there is something about it. I saw it firsthand in Denver, man. It was incredible how many people were just sucked into this guy and everything. And I went to training camp. Listen, Bronco training camp is nuts. I mean, it's nuts for a lot of teams, but it's nuts. I mean, people wait outside in the early morning at Dove Valley to get in. But when this guy was on the team in his rookie year and Josh McDaniels was running the team, and there was a lot of optimism about McDaniels because he was the hot name coach. This guy was mobbed. I mean, mobbed. And nobody cared that there was debates going on in the NFL about whether or not he was a legitimate first-round pick, or whether he, you know, what was his throwing mechanics. Nobody cared, man. Okay, nobody cared. There was something about him that drew him in.
How about this analogy? Say this is 93, 94, right?
Right.
And we have a Michael Jordan in the White Sox camp. You know, or White Sox Farm League trying to make it to the bigs. Would we have cared or would we have celebrated as much if the White Sox went, you know what, Michael, just come on up?
Yeah, that's a great point. I think we would all want to see it. There was some curiosity there. And also there's something historic about it. Like if Michael Jordan actually had Major League Baseball at bats, like we'd go, man, I gotta see that.
Yes,
like that's.
I'm gonna tune in.
Unique,
I'm gonna
historic.
Find your channel.
It's different, right? But I also think in Tebow's case, I think, look, no matter how he gets it, whether the Mets go, yeah, put him on for viewers. I don't care. He doesn't really deserve it, but who cares? it wouldn't matter because for Tebow, for him, the mocking that people gave this guy for this idea, if he gets one at bat, he's completed the journey. If he gets one major league at bat, he did it. He did it.
He becomes Moonlight Graham.
That's right. Moonlight Graham. I think the Mets should do it. I think the Mets just, you know, I'm not asking you to make them the permanent first baseman. We're talking a universal designated hitter here in every game.
No, I need to see him. Tony, I need to see him in the field.
You really do need to see him in the field?
Put him in right field.
All right, you put him in right field.
Okay, but here's the flip side. What if he's good?
Yeah. What if he gets a hit?
What if he gets a hit? What if he, you know, he's playing stellar defense? I'm using this word stellar very loosely, but what if it's stellar defense
there?
And
that's true.
He gets up and, you know, he's hitting for average. Right?
Not bad.
Can we then, you know, are we going to say, oh, no, it's just because it's COVID. It was a short season pitch. You know, we're going to find all these different excuses, but what if, he rises? I mean, he's an athlete. He's someone who rises to the occasion.
It could happen. It could happen. Again, might be wishful thinking, but it's actually legit. I mean, look, Brody Wagonen is not throwing the idea off. All right, coming up. Adam Silver is talking about the bubble and the NBA. He's got some optimism and some concern, as we all do. Will Adam Silver stay in Orlando? I'll tell you about that next on Wake Up Call.
Wake Up Call with Tony D and Ron Culver continues now. Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, when you need auto parts, O'ReillyAuto.com, just a few clicks away. They offer convenient options for you to get your parts quickly. Order online at O'ReillyAuto.com. Pick up for free at your local O'Reilly Auto Parts store. They'll even bring it out to you curbside, or you can choose to have your parts delivered right to your door with free shipping on most orders over $35. Get your auto parts quickly with O'Reilly Auto Parts. Visit O'ReillyAuto.com today. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. All right. So NBA Commissioner Adam Silver was speaking to Time 100 Talks. All right. So they were basically interviewing him about the situation in the bubble. So Adam Silver said all the right things, right? You know, hey, look, we're optimistic that we'll get this done. But if there's an outbreak of the virus, the concern and the safety of our players are at the forefront of this plan. So he did say, look, if it gets bad, this thing's getting shut down. So there's no guarantee that we're going full steam ahead. He said, never full steam ahead, no matter what. So one thing they're learning is that this virus is unpredictable. And, you know, again, if the bubble breaks and all of a sudden you got a number of players tested positive, and it looks kind of catastrophic, that they'll shut it down. But he didn't give any scenario in which the shutdown button would be pressed. So he didn't say, look, if it's 50% or 20% or 10% or 3%, he didn't give a number. He just said, look, it's possible that this thing might not get finished because we don't know what will happen. It leads to a number of questions. What exactly would the NBA do if a number of players on one particular team got it, but everybody else was testing negative? And then you did some contact tracing and, you know, he's like, okay, this is isolated, but that team is a little decimated, meaning it's not really capable of putting together a real team. You know, what do? Do you just take that team out? Do you give a win to the playoff opponent and just say they move on? Do you shut it down because one team couldn't continue? There's a lot that still has to be determined. Now, I think it would take a lot to decimate an entire team. I think, you need five guys, but because, again, as we've mentioned before, postseason basketball is a shortened bench situation. You don't use 12 to 15 guys. You use about 7, 8, right? A lot of guys play a lot of minutes in the postseason. So if you get to the postseason and you have two teams playing and it's like the Lakers and let's say the Memphis Grizzlies, and the Grizzlies are, you know, loaded with coronavirus, but they still have 7 or 8 guys that can play, then, you know, you're hoping that the Grizzlies will let those 7 and 8 guys represent them in this tournament, even if it's quick 4 games and out. You don't want to shut down because one team can't continue. Now, if it spreads, it spreads enough, and the NBA has got some decisions to make. Now, I do wonder what happens if four or five superstars get the virus. I mean, if the NBA is down a LeBron and a Giannis and a Kawhi, do they go, hey, we should plow ahead? A number of general managers are concerned about the optics of this if it does fall apart. And this leads to how it will be looked by America if the NBA raises the white flag in Orlando and goes, yeah, we couldn't finish. We didn't finish. We tried, but this got out of hand. Now we have a lot of players with the coronavirus. Somehow it got through, and despite all the safety measures, a lot of players got infected. We got to shut it down. Would the optics be, A, they at least tried and the virus got the best of them, but at least they plowed ahead and tried to do something? Or will it be, B, hindsight's 2020 and it should have never happened to begin with? I'm hoping that it would be A, because if it's A, this was a league that's putting a lot on the line to try to get basketball back and completed. It may not be perfect. It may not be the most ideal plan, but it's a plan nonetheless. And sometimes plans have the right heart, but they just go awry. I mean, I think all of us have done that where we've planned something with the family. Things didn't go right. It rained when you took your kids to an amusement park, or it rained when you took your kids camping, whatever it may be. And I know those are minor inconveniences, and this is a coronavirus, but it's kind of on those same lines. The thought process behind it, yeah, the heart was in the right place. The league and the players want to do this. They could not do this without the players wanting to do this. And the league, of course, had some financial gain to do it as well. I mean, they are a business and they're trying to keep business running along. And the players wanted to get paid and they wanted to complete this season. This was the best answer. But one other question that came up in this talk was, what about you, Commissioner? Are you going to be inside or outside the bubble, or possibly both? And the answer is both. He's going to be in and out of this bubble. Now, he is taking precautions. He's going to stay double the distance away from players, probably 12 feet. But he feels like he can do his job better outside the bubble. I have a question about that. Why? How? How? What meeting do you have to have face-to-face that you can't do on Zoom or you can't do on Skype or whatever method of communication you're doing? Why aren't you in that bubble with everybody else? You're the commissioner. Like you want your assistant commissioner not there? That's fine. But wouldn't the optics be better for you if you were in that bubble with the players? If you were as quarantined as the players? I mean, come on. One for all for one here. I mean, get in there and stay there. You're there throughout the whole thing. If I'm LeBron James, I say the commissioner has to be here too. If we're here, he has to be here. Please do not give me the whole, I can do the business of the league better if I'm in and out. Well, okay, give us a couple of examples where you may be needed outside, where you can't, in the next 3 months, do everything from within that bubble. Conference calls, meetings. I mean, you were doing it before anyway. You were quarantined in New York City anyway. You weren't going to the office to begin with, and yet you still managed to be able to run the business of the league, putting this thing together, talking to your owners, talking to the players union, talking to the media. You could do all of those things inside this bubble, inside this quarantined situation, and it would be good for you to do it. It would be good for you to live under the same conditions that the players are going to live. You want to bring your family down? Bring your family down. Have them tested. They can stay in your suite at the Disney World Resort. But stay inside that bubble. Don't go in and out because you have the convenience to do so. Yeah, you may be the commissioner, and yeah, there's no doubt there's business that you got to run, and there's people you do have to talk to. But tell me what situation requires you to be anywhere other than with the league at this time. Again, we're not asking you to do it for a year. You'll be in there until the end of the playoffs, till the end of the finals, which will be in October, and you can run your entire business from inside that bubble. It's a good look for you. It's a good look for the league. It'll show the players some solidarity in what is going to be a true mental test for everybody. Because at first it may be fun, but after about 2 weeks, it's going to get on everybody's nerves.
listening to Wake Up Call, presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Hey, with July 4th coming up, or maybe you're just having some celebrations in whatever capacity, you might overindulge in some good food or drink. I know I did over the weekend with celebrating my son's graduation. If you don't feel so good, you gotta reach for the Nauzene Upset Stomach and Nausea Remedy. It's quick-dissolving chewable tablets, and it's in wild cherry flavor, which makes it good. Nauzene's four-minute formula quickly relieves stomach discomfort from overindulging. Because that's what you're going to be doing this 4th of July. Yeah, you might be getting together with some family and friends. There's always good food around, but the upset stomach could come, and that's why you need Nauzene. It's available on the shelves. Go out and get it. No chalky medicinal flavor or bitter aftertaste. It's non-drowsy, too, which is important. No aspirin and no caffeine or antihistamines. Again, it's available in the digestive section of most leading retailers. Take two or three tablets, and you'll be fine. Nauzene, again, overindulge in good food and you get Nauzene, and it'll make you upset stomach and calm down, and you'll be able to kind of enjoy the holidays this upcoming weekend. Again, quick dissolving chewable tablets, and especially wild cherry flavor, because that's always makes it good. All right, so continuing along today, it is Bobby Bonilla Day, as we mentioned at the top of the hour. Real quick on this, here's what happened. He basically gets $1.19 million from the Mets. He deferred $5.9 million. Now, I've always wondered, and I think we asked this question a year ago, which is if the Mets had just given him $5.9 million at the time, and Bonilla just said, screw it, I'm just going to put it in a long-term investment plan, would he be making more or less than getting $1.1 million a year for, you know, 25 years? They have 15 to go, by the way. They've been doing this for a decade.
Yep.
He's got 15 more years to go on this. So that's great. That's so great. So, but it doesn't really matter, to be honest with you. I mean, if he had gotten the money, the Mets didn't want to give him the money because, A, they were making money off of it. You know, the Mets didn't do this because they were broke. I mean, we got to make that clear. The Mets weren't hurting for cash, and we're like, we can't come up with $6 million. We looked through all the books, and we just can't afford it. But would you mind taking $1.1 million for 25 years starting in 2011? That's not how this has gone down. The Mets were making a lot of money on investments with Bernie Madoff, of all people. And so they were just going to use that money that they thought was always going to be there to pay him. I was almost like, well, it's not really our money. It's the money we're making on investments. Just pay him. And the deferred money helped them get like David Wright in the deal. So it did, at the time, it seemed like a good idea for the Mets, and it turned out to be a great idea for Bobby Bonilla, who considers it the greatest retirement plan of all time. So back to what I was saying about the NBA, I do think Adam Silver does need to go down to Orlando and stay in Orlando. But again, what will the optics look like if this fails? Will it be bad for the NBA, or will people give the NBA the good old college try? You tried to give us basketball. You tried to go on and tried to fight through this virus. It didn't work out, but by golly, you at least made an effort. Because let's go back to the second part of that. If America as a whole, and this country that's on the edge right now, and everybody wants to scream. I've never in my life seen a country more angry at everything. I've never seen this country more angry at everything in my life.
Everything.
Everything. Everything.
It doesn't matter
what
it
is. And I grew up in the 80s where Reagan, you know, there was people who didn't like Reagan and whatnot, but everybody now flips out. Everybody flips out. And I can't, I don't understand how people can live like that on 11 all the time. I don't understand it. I just don't get it.
It's social media. Because everyone can voice their opinion. Now, back when you and I were kids, there was no way to voice. You could voice your opinion about something that was bothering you to your neighbors, family, or friends. That's it. We didn't have far-reaching capabilities. And now we can just go on Twitter and it's like, you know what? I think donuts are racist. I mean, you know, just something absurd sometimes. You're going, I don't even know what that means.
Yeah, it's unreal. I've really, it's scary at times because you just go, man, we're never, you know, you sit back and you look at Twitter and you go, you know, this is a very, 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 very small, very few people have Twitter. Very few people are using Twitter. But it's a very loud voice.
Yeah, there's an excellent video. I'll have to send it to you at some point. I think it's an Australian ad or just an Australian comedy sketch where this group of people asks this guy, you know, hey, can you take a picture of us? And he's like, oh, sure, you know, and he grabs his camera and he goes, all right, everyone say cheese. And then the first person goes, well, I'm vegan.
Oh.
So I don't eat cheese. And he's like, okay. And then he says something else. He's like, well, I find that kind of offensive, you know, but it's something like, you know, okay, fine. Everyone just smile. And he's like, well, you know, I'm taking antidepressants. So, you know, smiling is a chore for me. And he just goes down this whole gamut. And then finally he just turns and goes, all right, everyone, quick selfie, click. And then throws the camera to him and goes, hey, thanks, guys.
Yeah.
Because literally, I mean, it's an exploit how everyone finds something wrong with everything.
Right. So go back to the NBA, right? What if this breaks down, it falls apart, players getting corona, and it's canceled, right? And it's canceled.
I don't know if it'll go so far as being canceled.
Okay, but use my hypothetical, please. Okay. Because what I'm saying is, if it's canceled, how will people react to the NBA? If they shut this thing down, if they're in the first round of the playoffs, and man, it's just one test, positive test after another, somehow this virus got into the bubble, it's affecting a lot of players, it's affecting it so much that Adam Silver goes, you know what, this is not safe, we can't continue, we got to, everyone go home, we got to shut this down. Will people look at the NBA and say, look, you tried to do this, you tried to do it right? Or will people go, a bunch of greedy organizations, owners, forcing these players to go in there and making them play? How dare they for money? This is insane. They didn't have the best interest at heart. This league, how will America react to a shutdown of the NBA in the bubble in Orlando?
I'll tell you right now, both ways.
Well, yeah, but I mean,
You'll have people who are going to complain about the owners, you know, being greedy, being money hungry, not caring about the players, just caring about the bottom line. And at the same time, you're going to have, you know, people complaining that where's my basketball? I need my basketball. How come basketball shut down? Even though this time of the year we don't have basketball.
So, but is one side going to be louder than the other? Because that's what's going on right now. Is one side going to dominate the media? Is one angle going to dominate the media like it is now, where a situation happens and a whole bunch of media outlets twist the story, make the story appear to be what it may not be, and then drive the NBA to a form of apology and embarrassment? Or should Adam Silver stand up and go, you know what? I'm sorry, but you know what? I absolutely, and my owners, we felt like this would work. We thought that this would work. And for that reason, we put it together. I had a 113-page safety protocol, and we tried to live by that. And unfortunately, it didn't work. But you know what? We tried. We didn't quit. We didn't, you know, kowtow to this virus, get all scared, and sit in our apartments, huddled in the corner, petrified. We went out and tried to beat it, and we didn't beat it. So we gave it an effort. Everybody that went knew the risk of this. They're adults. They're not children. We didn't force one player to attend.
Yep.
So everybody who's screaming that we forced this on the players, we didn't tell one player they had to be there.
He needs to make that statement.
Yeah, if I was him, I would.
Yeah, just come straight out and say it. It's like, hey, we're not forcing anyone to play.
We gave the players an opportunity to finish the season, and that they wanted, and if this gets shut down, it is not on us.
Right.
We tried to give you basketball. We tried to give our players the basketball that they wanted, and you know what? It didn't work. If it falls apart in Orlando, if I'm Adam Silver, I say, enough. Enough with the nonsense that we were just greedy as an organization. I'd get on in front of every camera, and I'd drive that point home.
And the other point I would drive home is just saying, we're not faulting any players for not wanting to attend. Like, stress that as well, because that, you know, that clearly shows that, hey, there's no penalty. You know, these guys, it's not like they're getting cut from the team. It's not like they're, you know, they didn't get their paycheck. It's not. If they want to play, they can play. If they don't want to play, they're still on the team.
Right?
There's, you know, they come back and look in next season.
Yeah, there's no ill will to anybody that decides not to do this. None. There is no ill will. Everybody gets it. Everybody understands.
But
if Spencer Dinwiddie, who tested positive for the coronavirus for the Brooklyn Nets, if he says, I want to see what I'm like in a couple, give me a couple of weeks, give me a time to recover from this and properly quarantine. If I come out of this okay, I want to play. Or if he says, if I come out of this clear, I still don't want to play, no one will blame him.
No one.
No one. If you've got a little baby at home or you don't, or your kid has asthma and he can't get into the bubble with you and you don't want to go, much like Avery Bradley, that's fine too. That's fine. You don't even have it, but that's fine too. No one's blaming anybody for this.
And yet, you know what? There will still be naysayers out there.
Sure.
Someone's going to find a fault in that logic no matter what.
But right now, it's just, like I said, everybody's angry. Everybody's up in arms. Everybody's outraged and everybody's offended. And if this league falls apart, you're going to hear from that group. You're going to hear from that group. And if I'm Adam Silver, I nip that in the bud as fast as I can to see how effective you can be in calming those people down.
Well, I mean, because we're outraged. Everyone's outraged because we don't know.
Yeah.
And I think that's the biggest problem is that, you know, if somebody could jump into a time machine, tell us how this year ends and let us know everything that's going to happen, I think we'd all feel better.
Very true. Very true.
But we don't know.
On Twitter, at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver. That's Ron with two N's as we continue. It is Wake Up Call on SB Nation Radio.
Wake Up Call with Tony D and Ron Culver continues now. Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, hit us up on Twitter, at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver. That's Ron with two N's. Michael on Twitter, because I knew he would respond to this. I believe he did so last year,
too. I think so. I was going to say, we should have just gone back to the timeline.
By the way, Michael, every year that we on July 1st, we'll be asking this question, so you could be ready with those numbers. We'd really
just
appreciate it.
Save it now.
If Bonilla invested the $5.9 million in 2000, he would have $48 million at a conservative 6% annual return by the year 2035 when
God,
this thing's
so
over.
Lost.
All right. Well, numbers. Well done. So basically, if Bonilla took the $6 million, $5.9 million, said, thanks, Mets, thanks for the check, and went to an investment firm, gave that money to the investment firm, 6% annual return. By the time he was done with what deal he has now at 72 years old, he'd have $48 million. So now he gets $1.19 million. 10 years ago, he started getting these checks, and now he'll get those until he's 72.
So he could
that's his retirement plan.
He could have ended up with $48 million by now?
At the end of it.
At the end of it.
At the end of it. But he wouldn't have $48 million now. He'd have it at 72. So the question is Bonilla better off? You know, obviously he had a lot of money from his playing days, but just for the sake of argument, it's like the lottery where they say, do you want it all in one lump sum or do you want it over a period of 25 years?
Well, you know,
always the lump sum. People always say, take the lump sum, but
you know, the other thing is he's relevant once a year.
Every year he's relevant.
How many?
He's going to be relevant till this is over. This is fun. This fun story.
During his era, say outside of Bobby Bonds, I'm trying to think of star. You know, like bona fide stars. Do we ever talk about?
Yeah, that's right. He does this, but how much of it is because it was the Mets? I mean, if it was the Kansas City Royals, would we go, yeah, the Royals, man. So
yeah,
they made a deal with so-and-so, Harold Baines or whatever. Oh, not Harold Baines, but whoever was on the Royals back in the old days. Yeah, they made a deal with him, and, you know, we'd go, okay, that's fine. Royals did some deal.
Have we ever really examined how the Mets got here?
Yeah.
I mean, they were a championship ball club. In the late 80s.
That 1986 team is one of the best teams ever played.
Yeah, and then even into the 90s, I mean, they made the World Series.
They just recently made the World Series.
It's true. I forget about that one. Sorry.
Well, I do, too. I they lost to the Royals in 2015.
That's right.
Yeah. What? Let's see. I'm trying to think. They've been in the World Series more recently than the Yankees.
True.
Right? So, yeah. You know, but yet, for some reason, they're, you know. They're the butt of jokes. Everyone always picks on them. I don't know why.
I don't either. I mean, is it because of Bobby Bonilla? Because of this contract?
It might be. Look, when they listed all of Bernie Madoff's victims and the Mets are on the Wilpons are on the list, it doesn't make you go, oh, that's too bad. It makes you go, of course. Like, it's just one of those things that people do.
The rich just trying to get richer.
You know, it's just one of those things. So, but, I mean, look, did it make economic sense? I guess, yeah. If you were seeing the returns Madoff was giving you, and you say, look, we're making money off of these investments, we'll just give you that for 25 years. We'll just give you a slice of our massive returns that this guy's giving
us. And it's probably the fact that when Bobby Bonilla turns 72 years old, he is on the Mets books.
Right, right.
That they will be paying a 72-year-old former baseball player
now
$1.2 million, basically.
Because the Mets franchise is, you know, still worth over $1 billion, the Mets should have fun with it. The Mets should have like a big deal and be like, it's Bobby Bonilla Day. Here's your check, Bobby. And make it like a big game show check that they hand them.
Well, not only that, there should be Bobby Bonilla Bobblehead Day.
Sure.
When baseball's in session.
Yeah. You know what? If I'm the Mets, that's a good point. When the Mets, when everybody gets like back to work, right? When everybody gets back and fans are coming in, July 1st, they should have a Bobby Bonilla Bobblehead where he's just dressed up as like the $1 Million Man from wrestling.
Have him come out. He throws the first pitch, tips his hat to the crowd.
Yeah.
And gets then a just, cheer from the,
money,
from the
money,
fans.
Money, 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 money. Fantastic. That would be great. Just play it up. Just be
celebrate
like, today
it.
Is a day we give Bobby $1.19 million. He's going to throw out the first pitch. One lucky fan has a chance to win $1 million with some weird, almost impossible to win contest, but nevertheless, it's out there anyway. You can do all sorts of fun things with this if you're the Mets. Just own it. You, instead of just being like the butt of jokes every year, like, yeah, it's July 1st. Yeah, we got to write the guy a check. Just be like, yep, we got to write the guy a check.